Children's class is starting, so children, you have to go to your class.
Oh, yeah.
Let us cultivate the altruistic motivation seeking complete enlightenment for the sake of liberating infinite, kind, mother sentient beings. With that kind of altruistic motivation, or what we call bodhicitta motivation, bodhisattva's attitude, that we should all participate in this teaching.
Rāntāṃ jīnjī tūndu sāñjī kumbhā tōpa shēku hundūsa tī sāpa tāpi shēvā lā anī anī jāyū sūrī gātā tūmā lī pa tōku hundūsa tī tōpa shēvā lā anī alī tūsam shēku hundūsa sūṅsā ngā rāṅ sūndūsa chū chīnjī shēvā tūndā kārī gīndu shēnā anī jāyū sūrī gātā tūm rāṅ gā anī jīl rāṅ gā mātōpa tōpi chēdu yīn sāma shēvā.
As we cultivate such motivation, which we call bodhicitta motivation, basically what we have done is we have generated an aspiration seeking complete enlightenment for the benefit of both self and others. And this kind of altruistic motivation also gives us, if you will, the sense of direction, you know, for our spiritual development or growth. And also it answers the question, why am I participating in this kind of a spiritual teaching? As I often emphasize, that we really need to tell ourselves the purpose of participating in study or listening to teaching, contemplation, and meditation. So when we are clear that our goal is to strive for a complete enlightened state for the benefit of everybody, everybody includes both self and others, then in order to actualize that goal, we must engage in listening to teaching or study and contemplation and meditation. It is through these processes that we are able to accomplish our spiritual goal.
Tā kārīngi sāna āne, tā rānta yīn āne kōwē dūngē kī jānsu sāna mīdū, tā kōwā lē, kōwā tā mīyā sōngu dūngē lē rānta kūyō rē, tā rānta ndrēwē yīn tsāma lō, sīngī yīn tsāma lō, kōwā tā mīyā sōngu dūngē lē thār gyōba sāng tōngu rē shi, kārī tā tēli mātā na, āne dūngē chī rāngī shi, tū tā tā dūngē chī rāngī shi mātō ne deva deva kokam de chani ta thog mundu sam bachin tu sam thashi
what is also involved in cultivating such an altruistic motivation or bodhicitta motivation is this kind of understanding that we want to get out of samsara or cyclic existence. And we reflect on the suffering nature of samsara, generic sufferings in samsara and specific or particular sufferings in different situations in samsara. We call that migrations. And by understanding the suffering nature of samsara, then we cultivate the aspiration that I want to get out of this kind of suffering situation, and I also recognize that all other beings would like to be out of this mess too, this samsara. Nobody wants to be in the state of suffering. So if we get stuck in samsara, then we really will run into or bump into one or the other kind of problems and sufferings, and we will never find a moment of true happiness being in samsara, because samsara is in the nature of suffering. That is the fact about samsara. So it is much better to get out of samsara. And so we see that both self and others would like to get out of samsaric situation.
Na da khoe ne le thaba shaba na garu gur sa na ane da le ta nyomo ni pote ranju le pe le ta nyomo pote me ba zo gu yar.
So now as we see that samsara is not a happy place to be in, it's much better to get out of samsara. And so how can we do that? You know, it's not enough for us to wish or think that, yes, I want to be free from samsara. But what is the real way to do that? You know, what do we need to do, or what must we do to get out of samsara? As I have often explained and emphasized this point, that each of us has to look within our own state of mind. That means we have to look inwardly and understand that in our mind we have what we call delusions, or in Sanskrit called kleshas, nyonmong in Tibetan, deluded states of mind. And we have also accumulated what we call contaminated karmic actions. Okay? Now these are the real causes of our being in samsara. In order to get out of samsara, we must put an end to delusions and contaminated karmic actions. Again, we are not talking about the third person's delusions and karmas. We are talking about the first person's delusions, karmas. So that is you or I, or that's me. And so look within one's own state of mind and say, I need to put an end to delusions and contaminated karmic actions to be free from samsaric situation.
That condition, and in COVID, ta le ta nyomo ni bote ta me ba zo a chebal ta ting jung sang jung gu se che ngur
So we really need to do more investigation in these matters. Okay, now I kind of get it, that the delusions in my own mind and contaminated karmic actions that I have accumulated are the real causes of my being in samsara. But then we want to investigate further what really is at the very bottom of all of this thing. What is the source of delusions and contaminated karmic actions?
That day, Karayan, the Tsawat and Rangjili Yepi, that in the past on Tangyamar, Rangjili Yepi, Dangzi Maribate, and that later Yum Tsawachago, just Dangzi Maribate, my member say KL Tess, some Tangwurst.
So when we raise that question to ourselves, what is the source of my delusions and my contaminated karmic actions? That answer to that question is that it is my ignorant grasping at self in my own mind. Right? Again, I emphasize this point that we need to turn the mind inwardly, you know, just look inside one's own mind and be able to see that I have got this ignorance called avidya in Sanskrit, marigpa in Tibetan. What kind of ignorance, if you ask? It is the ignorant conception of grasping at self. And this is the real culprit. This is the source of all other delusions and contaminated karmic actions that we create.
That dangzi marigpa ne meba zo shepala kar gogura sena ane ta rupa ihije mandi ba dangzi marigpa ta ingenda ta rupa ihite.
Now, if we identify our ignorant conception of grasping at self as the source, right? T-H-E, the source of all our delusions and contaminated karmic actions problems, then what is an antidote to counteract this particular ignorance? Okay. Well, the antidote is no other than the wisdom realizing selflessness, because this wisdom is antithetical to, right? It contradicts, it challenges or counteracts our ignorant conception of grasping at self. So when we talk about this wisdom, you know, we can say this is the wisdom. It's a very specific kind of a wisdom, right? There are many levels of wisdom. This is the wisdom realizing, selflessness or emptiness. Okay, shunyata or tongbanyi in Tibetan, which is the ultimate nature of phenomena. And this wisdom, sometimes we say wisdom gone beyond, is the antidote to our ignorant grasping at self.
So that ngaranzu samalo ta lo kareshin ne chu chu lojun cheta gom jet samalo ane ta tomati tombani ngoso to be here de ranju chewe table roch chebu ta roguya.
So what I'm trying to get across to you with all this explanation is, as we participate in teaching, we are listening to teaching or we are giving teaching, or as we engage in contemplation of the meaning of the teachings, or we meditate on Dharma, all of these actions that we do or perform must be aimed at, or aimed for, rather, developing the wisdom realizing emptiness as it is. Okay? So our study, contemplation, and meditation must all be oriented towards, you know, realizing emptiness as it is. So I'm here teaching, giving teaching to you, and this must be motivated by and oriented towards realizing emptiness. and you are listening to my teaching, and you are, you know, writing down what I'm explaining to you, taking notes, all of these actions and activities must be aimed for developing or realizing emptiness, the ultimate nature of phenomena. You know, you are writing down to my explanation in your notebooks. Is this taking notes? I think its very purpose is it's your kind of a technical way to remember the things I explained to you so that you are able to, you know, put it into practice and realize emptiness as it is, you see? Because there is no other reason to that. You are not taking notes down and because you have to prepare for some kind of a quiz or examinations later. Or you're not doing that so that, you know, you have to, you know, you will get some kind of unit credits, you know, for doing that. Or this is not related to your earning some kind of money related to your job or anything. That's nothing to do with that. This is all to do with, you know, remembering all these things so that you will utilize it to be able to realize, you know, emptiness.
Inland that tangina to be hirup then the songs. On a pushing, you so pushing to the chepe. That ying at that ten cut a king you're going to degree that. Someone on a domain to be here and you should be told some logic. Do we are this?
Great Bodhisattva, Mahasattva, Ma means great of the great. Bodhisattva Shantideva. In his Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life, this is a very important work of his, states, as Geshe-la quoted the lines from his memory. First, I will literally translate it and then translate the explanation given on this. And in this text, he said, all of these auxiliary things has been taught by Buddha for the sake of wisdom. Okay, now what are we saying? Right? These are the root text lines, as we've said. Now, the explanation given on this is, we often talk about what is called the six perfections or six paramitas of bodhisattvas, right? Generosity and patience and all of that. Now, the first five perfections or the paramitas are taught by Buddha. These are considered like auxiliary practices, you know. For what? For the sake of developing the perfection of wisdom. Okay, so in other words, we could also make a case that all the teachings given by Buddha are meant for us to realize emptiness as it is, because that was the very purpose of teaching all these other things.
Great
realized Tibetan master Manjushri Lama Tsongkhapa or Jerumbuche or Jawa Losantaba, he is known by many different names, but sitting right here next to me, said in his this magnificent praise to Shakyamuni Buddha. Okay. And as Geshe-la quoted the lines again from his memory, he said, whatever you have taught, you meaning Buddha, you have taught everything based on dependent arising and for understanding dependent arising. Okay. And so Buddha has taught, as we would say, as many as 84,000 discourses. Now that is quite a, you know, extensive list of teachings he has given, but all of them are based upon the concept of dependent arising or pratit samutpad, tendal in Tibetan, and all of the teachings are meant for realizing and understanding what dependent arising is.
That is the reason. Do part two na. That is the reason. To be any. To consume but in some duji nyomo ponya kinsong bares. Duji nyomo ponya shabal kare gugus and tomini to be here and you machine. To nyomo pontaya marsets. I think today do sending. Tawa karang is in the. To karasong by in the. Don't you to be here and you shave tablet.
So in other words, what we are really saying here is that all the teachings given by historical Buddha Shakyamuni sitting over there, you know, he gave the teachings with the sole purpose of helping us sentient beings to abandon or get rid of delusions from within our mind. Okay, period. That is the sole purpose. So now, in order to really do that, what he said, well, to get rid of these delusions for good meaning they'll never come back, then you have to realize emptiness or shunyata as it is. Okay? To realize that, you need to understand, realize dependent arising. These are all, you know, connected to each other. You see? So that's why all the teachings given by Buddha, underneath it, that his whole motivation and purpose is to help us understand it, understand the ultimate nature of everything that exists, we call phenomena. By realizing that, we can free ourselves from delusions and the state of suffering.
So that too, see, can now you are so the garage and yanish did say, but carry any Javis got a thank you, can Monte Canichi in a little sick team to Jean Jumajuna teeth and that is. She had the cage chamber, she had the correct and the she was a sinner, and then Ranju Yamopo and the kid, she was.
So, as we listen to teaching or we engage in our practice of Dharma or spirituality, we should always keep this in our mind or remind ourselves that, you know, Buddha has taught so many things which are contained in what we call sutras. And then the Indian, the great Buddhist masters have written commentaries on Buddha's teachings called shastras, commentary treatises. So we have hundreds of volumes of Buddha's teachings preserved in them. But every word of the Dharma that we encounter or that we try to understand, you know, it has a very important meaning. And the meaning is not just to be understood intellectually. Okay, now I get it, you know. But the meaning is that so that I will be able to, realize the true nature of realities, and that I can get rid of my delusions. Okay, so this we have to remind ourselves that the very purpose of listening to teaching, practicing teaching, is to be able to counteract our own delusions and free ourselves from delusions. So it's not just for the sake of some intellectual curiosity and intellectualism and whatever, you know.
And then there's some that ali sawat karashe go sna tat samalo kada tengi samalo rang rangi gi nyamo pon iche da ani sumbare soncha ta lem go chamro ne zonte do sandran ta rangi li she go ngente karo sna chamro na ba ta ba jeran she go tenin ani kwatang su go dunghele ji trashe ni please me ne ba chizono yo ba che ba she go are ta ti ji kare sna lende san tang go ta.
So the point I'm really trying to make here again is that everything Buddha has taught is meant for us to put into practice so that we are able to free ourselves from delusions and suffering. Okay? And so starting from the very beginning, right, if we really think in terms of following Buddha's way of life, then we started with taking refuge in Buddha, Dharma and Sangha. This is called Buddhist practice of refuge. Taking refuge in triple gems or three ratnas. Okay? And why? Because we realize that these three jewels have so many amazing qualities that you and I don't have. So we would like to have those qualities. Okay? So we said, okay, we will trust you and we need your inspirations and blessings to help so that we can also cultivate those qualities in our mind and we can become, you know, one of you or one of them, whichever way you want to put it. Okay? And so even starting from the practice of refuge, you know, we said, okay, now what is involved in that, taking refuge, is we have to really understand the suffering nature of samsara. And then we should be afraid of the suffering in samsara. Okay, we should be scared of the suffering in samsara, not for just for the sake of getting scared, but so that we will act and we will get ourselves out of samsara. So we fear the suffering of samsara, and we develop trust in the abilities of the three jewels to guide us and to help us get out of samsara. Okay? So we need their help. We need to understand and contemplate the law of karma. What is karma? You know, how does it function? You know, and what are the different types of karma? What kind of outcomes, you know, or results are produced by these karmas? And how are these things personally relevant to me, you know? And so we have to educate ourselves on these matters, and after the education, we really need to incorporate these teachings into our everyday life and practice. And this is how we bring change within ourselves. As we often talk about this, and many of you know this, that in order to go for refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, enlightened being, you know, enlightened teaching, and a spiritual community, we have to cultivate what is known as the two essential causes of refuge. You know, essential, that's what we said. It didn't say optional. And so what are the two essential causes? Number one, it is this healthy sense of fear. I have to categorize it, fear, you know, because we don't want to scare people for no reason. It's the healthy sense of fright or the fear that arises in our mind as we realize the true suffering nature of suffering, of samsara. So we realize that samsara is not a happy place to be in. It's much better to get out. Okay. Now we are afraid of the suffering in samsara. So what can we do with it, if you ask? Well, the second essential cause is that we develop confidence and trust in the three jewels and their abilities to guide us, to help us. Okay? So through their help, we need to get ourselves out of samsara. Okay? They cannot do the thing for us, as we often say. But we develop trust in their abilities to guide us. So based on these two essential causes, you see, now it's not no more intellectual anymore, right? It's, I mean, okay, you know much about suffering of samsara, maybe you're a little bit scared. Actually, getting scared is not intellectual, it's very emotional. Right. So developing trust is really it's a real experience. So we have to cultivate these qualities in our mind as we take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So as in the process of this thinking, we say, okay, I'm really scared of samsara and the suffering. So what really brings all the suffering to me? I don't like it. I don't want to be. So what are the real causes of suffering? You see, we started to ask questions. You see, we started to investigate the matters further. So as we raise that kind of question to ourselves, you know, what are the real causes of my being in samsara? Because it's, after all, it's a very scary situation to be in. I don't like it. I don't want to be in this. I want to get out. And as we raise that question, investigate the matter, what we started to see is that our negative karmic actions are the causes which bring us suffering, that we don't like it. Yeah, the sufferings that we experience in this life and sufferings that we will experience if we don't change in the future in unfortunate situations such as hell, hungry ghost, and in the lesser kind of animal world. And so what kind of negativities are we talking about? As you know, most of you know that killing is a negative karma. Okay? If we kill someone, it is never going to bring any good result. Negative karmic action always brings negative outcomes. And we talk about different types of outcomes of a negativity. That's what we call, to use a technical term, a ripening result of negative karma. Okay? When we create a negative karma, either we kill someone, or that we steal something from somebody else, or whatever negative karmic examples you could give, their ripening results, you know, arise in the form of being reborn in one of the three bad migrations. Either we will be in the hell in the future, or we will be in the hungry ghost situation in the future, or we will be in the lesser kind of animal world. Okay, so negativities bring such negative ripening outcomes.
Yes. Megiwi leel tila teni di dren shegu yu na ta ti rangi leel saaj mandu san pe ngayma saa simba tu meba zoya ta sabdu ma saa ya tamja shi ya ta ki yungu yari ta tali ki yungu yari ta samnu ya pa tangbi yu na.
So when we learn about these things, how negativities give rise to negative outcomes, then the lesson we learn from this is, well, I have accumulated a lot of negativities just in this and in past lives, okay? So I need to purify my mind of these negative karmas, because negative karmas can be purified before they bring their results. Yeah, they can be changed, which is a good news, right? We can purify our mind of negative karmas. And then we also see that, okay, not only that I need to purify the negative karmas I've already created and accumulated, but I must not do them again. I should resolve not to repeat them or do them again. So this is what I mean, practice is about.
So that door dinner, Saint Yen and Nepe reconditioning in that rank, rang late, shave in that the Namita Ralm that Dominion Jerry.
So, I mean, how should I say, the bottom line is that we should not do any action, karma, that hurts others. Any harmful action is a negative action. And by doing that, not only do we bring suffering to others, but such actions will bring suffering to ourselves. The opposite of harming others is helping others or benefiting others. So benefiting others is a good karma. By doing that, we are bringing immediate benefits to others, but that karma will also bring a positive outcomes to ourselves. Because after all, what everybody wants, we want true peace, true happiness, success, you know, well-being, and you just name it. All the good things that we are seeking in our life must come from positive karmic actions.
So
when should we be doing all of these things? When is a good time? You know, if that's the question we've been asked. Well, the good time is now, because we have these great opportunities at our disposal, so to speak, to abandon negative karmic actions, to purify negativities that we have already accumulated, and to engage in positive karmic actions. The time is now. It's not in the future. It's not later. And why should we all be doing that? Well, because by doing these things, we will fulfill our needs and wishes. Okay? And who has the responsibility? You know, personal responsibility. Nobody is texting us to do this. Nobody is watching over our heads and shoulders that, are you doing that? Nobody is a karma police here. Okay? Just we have to police ourselves, okay? I want happiness, I don't want suffering. Okay, then I need to do good karmas and don't do the bad karmas. Okay, whose responsibility is that? It is my responsibility. Okay? Or should somebody be watching over me if I'm doing this? No, because it's not nobody's business. See, nobody can text us to do that. So we have the personal responsibility, personal interest to do good karmas and to stop doing the bad karmas.
Yena rangke enepe rik rang lu ta nga ta yi ke ta tni sum ji go ne yena nepe rik she tsar yo na tu ta hya wa she gure sum ane ta ta phi ji tni che me san pe rang lu nga yi sum te pe jo ka ni ge tho dang ge sen yena phem ba de ji sen ji yin ka ni ge rang da yin ji le phem ba de ji de de le dong dong ge yin sam ba dong tu ba hyo sam ba che ne ma lu mi chi jen.
So then how do we create the karmas? Again, maybe that seems to be a simple question, but perhaps we may still be kind of like, okay, how do I do that? Well, each of us has, as I always say, three things: body, speech, and mind. Okay? So by using these three things, we engage in actions, physical actions or bodily actions, or verbal actions or speech actions, and mental actions, activities. So these are karmas we are creating. And so we start to think that, okay, if I have used my body, speech, and mind to create any negative karmas, and I have done a lot, then we better confess our negativities, right? Through confession, we purify whatever negativities we have already accumulated. That's a purification practice. Then as a part of this purification practice, we say, okay, now I'm going to commit myself or resolve, okay, not to do them again. Okay, because why would we want to repeat the negative karmas that would bring us more troubles and suffering? Now we tell ourselves, I'm going to use my body, speech, and mind to benefit others, to do the right things, as you might say, to do the positive things. So when we say others, we literally mean all others. The challenge is the others include enemies or those we don't like. Okay, so nobody is there to be excluded. And so, of course, yes, we have to be honest that, okay, I may not be able to embrace the enemies right now and, you know, do all the good things for them. But at least in our mind we say, you know, I'm going to train my mind so that I will think kindly about them. Okay, so that in the time near future, I'm really able to bring benefits to them. Right now, I couldn't, okay? But at least I can wish them, you know, may they be happy as well, like anybody else. Yeah. So this is how we try to bring inner transformation, inner changes, you know, within ourselves.
No, no. That's
right. Choose here to go. Some no, I put down goes. Choose and draw it in. I put share goes. Choose in the round the yellow pember bagi.
Chu xianni de en den debut de ran da hin pe ba yin jo ma to ta ne bi mu jo ji gu ge ta kan ji.
So when we really deal with chu, which is the Tibetan translation of the Sanskrit term called dharma, and I often use the word spirituality, okay, here instead of saying religion, we really have to think deeply about what does it mean, what does it involve, chu. Chu has a sense of change, transformation, okay? And so we said, by practicing chu or dharma, I'm going to transform myself. Of course, who want to transform yourself into worse and worse people? You want to change into better people. And so we say, okay, by practicing dharma, I'm going to do the actions which are beneficial to others. By practicing dharma, if we are bringing harm to others, then we are not engaging in dharma. You see, even if it seems like a dharma from outside, it is not dharma. Okay, let's be clear with that. It might look like Dharma, kind of Dharma appearance. Well, the substance is not Dharma. We are harming others. Because Dharma must always bring benefits to serving others. It cannot bring harm to anybody.
Okay?
So Dharma or Shu is the way or the means with which or by which we can, save ourselves and others and help ourselves and others to be free from suffering situation, get out of samsara and find true peace and happiness. Okay? So Dharma, when we think of Dharma as the teachings being given, these teachings basically teach us about the methods or the techniques with which we can liberate ourselves from the state of suffering. But the Dharma in itself is also a way, it's the means, it is the path, if you will, that we cultivate that liberates us and others from the state of suffering. So what is Dharma? You know, we say Dharma is the way or the method or the means or the technique with which we can help both self and others to be free from the state of suffering and to find liberation and enlightenment. Yes, in a nutshell, that is what Dharma is. So Dharma should help both self and others to get out of suffering, to find complete freedom from suffering called Nirvana, and to find complete enlightened state. No. So it is basically what we're saying is Dharma, of course, as we said before, has a personal responsibility. Whoever cultivates Dharma in his or her mind or their minds, those people, you know, should be able to free themselves from the state of suffering and find Nirvana and enlightenment. Right? We can't practice for each other. Yes, so that's why Gisela wanted to make sure that, you know, we get that sense. That it's not like somebody can practice it for us and then we can be free. Okay? There's no free ticket here. We got to do it ourselves, right? Whoever cultivates Dharma, he, she, they, we, you know, can free ourselves from the state of suffering and find Nirvana and enlightenment. And if you don't do the practice, figure it all out.
No, no. That did the ram chung ngana ngel de gatas ta. Re ta gas mare ta. Mar chama lok phea kit shivis.
So I thought, you know, sharing some of these things, you know, would be beneficial to myself as well as to you.
Oye, ta neni inda. Kadam be kata gundu sine sund ma shivis.
Now we will go back to this wonderful text called A Miscellaneous Collection of Kadamba Geshe's Personal Advices, and we will pick up where we left off last time.
No, no, that dire tare ena de sungide geshe ben jakpes ben jakpe thula trende zebas na dire geshe be konjer da be ben gonja se gorda ina ben benja sungdonde ane khonga thula twende zepasil jani kong ngara ta kare kong ge hlabjeri ta saje dus patem number ta.
So today we are going to hear from what another great Kadamba Geshe by the name of Geshe Ben Gongchal, what he has got to say. He's a very kind of a radical and very well-known Kadamba Geshe. So he has some advices to give us.
Tan de sundo ta kong kong ga jo lab je khar de sna lab je khar de sna terin cham ji chela chela wang jer me pes den de du ji ma je chum bas ta mara ngo ni sige na terin ni ma ti gi ren gan le pe ge sun bo chi ni mi ta lui le le ten de le tho le de ya ge wanted to marry. monjer me pes ane te sa te na son sa ane te de de ya ke si ma chi sa te pi tu ta de ta te de de ya ke pe ju sa ya ta dan du ni dan de ya te ni shun ya ta a te de sa no ma ton sun ga ta.
So this is what Geshe Ben Gongjal said. He said, hey, interested listeners, we don't have any control over our life to say, today I'm not going to die, I'm going to live. Okay? We don't have even that much control to say that. So therefore, do not plan out this whole elaborate planning as if you're going to live permanently. Okay, forever. So there is no permanent address, you know, here. And so he wants us to know that. So basically what he's saying is that our life is very transient, and we really cannot say that I'm going to live today completely. You know, we don't know that. Okay? So therefore, do not waste our time and energy to get involved in worldly activities of cherishing your friends and, you know, people you like, and then kind of planning it all out, how can I defeat those I call my enemies, or, you know, or those people.
By design, cherishing.
Right. So cherishing, you know, the what we call dear and near ones, and then planning it all out, how can we defeat and make these other called enemies losers, you know. So don't play that game, you know, the game of winning and losing in a worldly sense.
You know.
So now what I want to bring out here is what the great Lamrim treatises, Lamrim is a Tibetan term which means stages of the path, treatise has got to say. He said, you know what, when we really honestly look at our life has a limit. We cannot add more to our life, really. There's nobody added. But on the other hand, there are many adverse condition factors cutting short our lifespan. Life has many adversaries. They are really not favoring our life. They are cutting short our life. Whereas it's really rather hard to add more years or whatever to our life.
Do you have one chair man, same man, the Hamago Bashe?
So what Geshe Ben is saying is that let's say that, you know, we are going to die today for sure, but we don't know that fact about our life. Okay, so we are still planning as we always have been, you know, as if we are going to live for 100 years or forever. So just planning it all out, but the fact of the matter is the life is ending today somehow. Okay? So in the process of planning out, you know, we think about many negative thoughts. You know, we create many negative actions of, you know, as I said, hurting others or harming others and all of those things. So this is really silly thing to do. So we must understand that life is very transient and we really don't know how long we are going to be here. So if we connect this whole idea about, you know, not realizing or thinking about the transitoriness of life and things to a larger picture, all these, you know, destructions and wars going around in our world is basically because, you see, we are not thinking that our life will end anyway. Why do we need to kill each other? It just, you know, it has a limit, you know. So we don't think about the impermanence of life and things as if we're going to live forever. So then we started to wage war against each other, you know, as if we are the ones who are going to live forever. And even at in other levels, like within our own family or among our friends, a lot of the disputes, lot of the disagreements and the conflicts and animosity and hostility, all of this arise again because none of us are really paying attention to the fact that our life is very impermanent, you see. And there's really not much time to fight with each other, honestly. But we kind of forget that, and so we engage in conflicts and disputes and hostility and all of that. So those who are 100%, or some people might say 110% these days here. But anyway, those who are 100% dedicated to Dharma and spirituality, they completely renounce activities of this lifetime, such as the great Domtenpa. You see, the great layperson Domtenpa, as he taught somebody else, he said, to practice Dharma, you got to renounce this life. So they do not want to do anything with all the worldly and ordinary things we do. Yet they want to completely dedicate themselves for the well-being and the betterment of their future lives. Of course, now, we are all not there yet, right? So it's very difficult for us, But that's how somebody 100%, raised the percentage, 200%, and dedicated into Dharma. So for us, the best would be like if we really handle it for like 50-50, 50 this life, 50 Dharma next life, maybe that's pretty good.
Okay.
So then, of course, if we want to kind of do better, then we say, okay, now I have developed more abilities, and so I can dedicate like 60% to Dharma and 40% to this life. Okay, so we're just kind of, increasing and improving.
Rang loha kasi na chu pal chol pa nyeri chins na te tzige te, de tong dang vir te.
Because the more we are able to direct our mind into really Dharma, Dharma's way of thinking and principles, the more we feel intimacy and more intimacy with Dharma, then we are able to kind of cut off, our link to the worldly activities, And we say, okay, now I can dedicate more percentage of my life to Dharma. Okay. So that means we're able to really direct our mind more and more, getting our mind more and more involved in Dharma. So one of the things we tell ourselves, we have to take it slow. You just can't start it, big, Well, there is truth to that, but we can't keep telling the same truth to ourselves all the time, like, okay, I have to do it slow, I have to do it slow. And every time I have to do it slow, then when are we really going to do it in anything, right? Every time we make it an excuse, I've got to go slow, right? So, yes, we have to start slow, basic and all that, but we can't keep on telling that to ourselves, all the time.
Slow talk very slow, did you hear me? Tartan does it, and you go, they will give you a day and do you a day in the go, that's in it.
Well, we all drive, right? So even if we go drive slowly, well, we have to pick up our speed, at different points, right? So we have to keep moving to the destination, even if it's slow, but we have to really move in the right direction. So all the things that Lamrim has got to say about death and dying, impermanence of life and things, all of those things are relevant to what Geshe Ben is saying here.
Dan yimbadare, pumbu jumi rangin dalas, dad mahimpa, himba maji tsumba, dan di mbe kunjak tsum sumsa de traba tsul sumbare. Yina de tsumba se, ta tsumba se, kung se, traba kue,
Okay. Of course, Geshe Ben was directly addressing a gathering of monks, so that's why they use Zunba, means venerables. Okay. So I before said, hey, interested listeners, just to include all of ourselves. Of course, we need to include ourselves in the audience here. So the next thing he said is, oh, venerables, you should understand that your body or aggregates are just like a magical creation or illusion. So understanding the illusory nature of your body or aggregates, you must not cling to it or cling to them.
Da pungbu jimi rangin yin siya da rangin dala ndis on del ndis ya nyesi jashi da susu ge pungbu dresa da ndis ya da pa yin la pa sa no ma ton ba shi ane ran le ye be jimi pungbu ndis dala ane da to ma kin sa kan da da ali ngel de shi.
So the way Geshe Ben said, he said this body has illusory nature. So this means you're right. He didn't say that body, he said this body, right? So, I mean, it really kind of connects to ourselves individually, personally. He said, this body is in the nature of illusion or magical creation, so therefore we must not grasp at it, cling to it. So when he said this body is in the nature of illusion, the Juma in Tibetan, or as sometimes a magical creation, because Tibetan one word could mean all those things. Now we can think about it in two different ways. Illusion or magical creation in terms of impermanence, okay, transitoriness. Or we can talk about illusion or magical creation in terms of ultimate nature of things, okay, in terms of emptiness. So now if we take it to mean that, you know, we should understand this body just like an illusion in terms of impermanence, you see, then the way to understand this is, when we are at a magic show, right, a magician is playing his or her tricks, well, as soon as the magician withdraws his magic or power, well, the magic is gone. So it is just for a very short, you know, period of time. It that shows about how transient or impermanent it is, right? It's only there so long as the magician is doing his tricks. But as soon as he stops his incantation or his tricks, the magic stops right there.
Okay.
So something I left from the previous explanation is, so, I mean, just as we must not get too much attached to the magic show, because it's not going to be there for a long time, you know, he'll pack up and he said, okay, done. Okay? So, you know, we should not get attached too much to the magic show. It's very impermanent, it's very transient. Okay, that's one way of understanding it. So we must not get too much attached to this body because it's very impermanent like the magic show. It's not going to last long. But the other way of understanding that this body is an illusion or magical creation in terms of emptiness is that just as the magic show, you know, does not exist in and of itself because it depends on so many causes and conditions. There is the magician. He has learned the magic tricks. He's using so many things to do the magic show. So it depends on so many causes and conditions for him to produce the magic show. So that magic show is dependently existent. It is not independently existent in and of itself. Are you with me? Okay. So just like that, this body of ours does not exist objectively from its own side or in and of itself, but it depends on many causes and conditions. Okay, this body is an outcome of many causes and conditions, so therefore it exists dependently. Okay, without those causes and conditions, it couldn't exist on its own. Okay? So therefore, we must not grasp at inherent existence objective existence of this body because this is not there.
Okay. No.
And then Geshe Ben said, do not grasp at the duality of things. Okay, what he's talking about. We can explain it in a number of ways. You know, one way we can say is that when we think about emptiness and the basis, you know, of emptiness, but there is a phenomenon which is a basis of emptiness, and emptiness and that basis of that two different things, if you will, two different phenomena. Okay, so there is a basis, a base phenomenon, if you will, and then there is the emptiness of that base phenomenon, which is the ultimate reality. Okay. We must not grasp at the duality of these two things means that neither the base phenomenon exists in and of itself, so shouldn't grasp at it in that way, nor does the emptiness, which is the characteristic of that phenomena, exist in and of itself, so we should not grasp at the inherent existence of emptiness. Okay, so there's no such duality. Okay, both emptiness and the base phenomenon on which it is established, they are empty of inherent existence. Okay? So we must not fabricate that kind of duality as if each of them exists in and of itself and they exist in that duality and grasp at them.
Okay.
In other words, you see, in Buddhist teachings, we talk about two truths. There is the conventional truth in Sanskrit called Samvritti Satya, or Kunjob Denpa in Tibetan, right? There are some people who are learning Tibetan here, I suppose. Then there is the ultimate truth, which in Sanskrit is called Paramartha Satya, or in Tibetan called Tendam Tempa. So we have two truths, conventional truth or conventional reality, and ultimate truth or ultimate reality. Okay, so there are two truths. In terms of emptiness, both are same. There is no duality. Okay, the way in which a conventional reality or phenomenon exists, and the way in which emptiness exists, there is no slightest difference. They both are empty of inherent existence. So there is no duality. Okay? So do not fabricate a duality that does not exist there.
Okay.
So this is exactly what we talk about in the context of Heart Sutra, right? Prajna Paramita Hridayam Sutra, Sherab Nyingpo in Tibetan, where he said, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. Right? Form is no other than emptiness, emptiness is no other than form. Da 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 da. Right? All these things we go, right? So we are talking about the same, that non-duality of form and its emptiness. And then Geshe Ben said, O venerables, you know, you should cultivate love and compassion for those who have not yet realized the non-duality of things or the emptiness of phenomena. Like those who have not realized the ultimate nature of phenomena, the way in which everything actually exists, that's what we call emptiness, you should cultivate love and compassion for them.
Mm. gimegi data lesan lesane ane call chamgu yarmas ja tu senta ni sheda tu sres.
So then he asks, you know, what is the connection between the beings who have not realized emptiness and then cultivating love and compassion for them? You know, where is the connection? Connect the dots, if you ask, right? This is what Geshe Ben says. Geshe Ben sounds like an American name, right? Geshe Ben says. Anyway, Geshe Ben Kunjin. So, anyway. He said, you know, the sentient beings, due to their ignorance, avidya, right, out of ignorance, they create contaminated karmic actions. These karmic actions, particularly the negative karmic actions, bring them the sufferings they don't want. Okay? And why are they caught up in this kind of a cycle, vicious cycle, is because they have not realized the ultimate nature of phenomena. Okay? Otherwise, they could have counteracted their ignorance. They have not understood the ultimate nature of phenomena, and because of that ignorance, out of ignorance, they created negative karmic actions, which bring them in samsara, and then they get stuck in samsara. So they don't see the way out. Okay? So as you see that situation, how sentient beings caught up in this vicious cycle, then you could cultivate, right, love and compassion for them. So the way we cultivate compassion to and for sentient beings is we look at the situations they are in. We said, although all sentient beings want true peace and happiness, but what they are doing is exactly the opposite. You see, they are creating the causes of suffering. They want happiness, but they are creating the causes of suffering. So this is really the real field for us to develop compassion, right? They're completely going against their own wishes. They want to be happy, but they're creating the causes of suffering. So we really wish them to be free from the state of suffering, understand the real causes of suffering. Okay?
That needs an attention. Ane toma ni mato besin je dunge jo ta chawa chuji toma ni mato besin de ne dewa da diu je da dembre chuji da shambashi en do sin che shtan da budu re da.
So all the sentient beings want you know, the real peace and happiness, but they don't want suffering, I should say, but they're creating the cause of suffering. So these are the reasons we use rational to cultivate love and compassion for sentient beings. We wish them to have true happiness. We wish them to be free from suffering. Okay. And so in our meditation and practice, we think this way, that may the sentient beings who have not yet realized emptiness and who are caught in suffering, may they be free from the suffering. May they find the real causes of happiness. You know, may they be free from the causes of suffering and the suffering itself. You know, may I be able to do something, you know, in that regard. So this, by cultivating these series of thoughts, you know, we are able to cultivate love and compassion for sentient beings.
No, no. That day, Tadi, Tamadi, Shiva Tenjis, Sonam, Situm Dilla Sheguiches, Shiva Tenjis, Sonam Say at the Kingbagadan, Kingbag Sonam Say to the MPG this year at the Sigurva.
No.
They don't know that the Pay. Gotsuyani is on the legacy at the water. When Java Tange Sonam Java Tange in Dumas in the Tam Kaki Ungurita, there were Java Tange Sonam, Setun Dela Shego Resta, Setundu Kig Matuya Mandela, then D. Dill and the Rang Shiva Tain Pad Toyagata, and the Chud Dugures, and the things that Sundu Yintop Shetans. That is that's
and then Geshe Ben said that you know, just as we look at the farmers, you know, just to be able to cultivate crops, you know, income for this lifetime, how much planning they have to do, right? They have to plan everything at different times in the seasons, Right, they have do you know so many things to be able to cultivate the field on time, provide the necessary conditions so the crops grow well, so that they have a bumper crop, so they have at least a happy life, you see, for that year or whatever the case may be. So now we are, you know, spiritual practitioners. So therefore, you see, we have this short life here and now. So we must do everything possible we could to do the actions which will promote happiness of our future lives. Because we want to secure happiness for all our future lives, right? So that we feel good. You know, we are secured in our state. Right? So to do that, it's very important for us to generate enthusiastic perseverance, enthusiasm, the sense of delight and joy in creating the positive actions, and develop that courage that I can do it. You know, I must do it. This is a short life, and I cannot lose it. So we should do everything possible to secure the happiness and the well-being of our future lives. Of course, so our spiritual goals include finding complete freedom from samsara called nirvana or nibbana, and finding complete enlightened state called Buddhahood. Okay? So when we find these states, then we are completely secured. Okay? And we will always have happiness and true peace and nothing else. And in order to realize these states for ourselves, because our life is very short, we really need to generate strong, enthusiastic efforts to be able to speed up, if you will, you know, to realize these spiritual goals. Yeah, because life is short, so we don't have too much time at our disposal. So we really need to, generate strong, enthusiastic efforts to be able to realize our goals. So as we talk about cultivating enthusiasm, so we have to understand the other side of the story, so to speak, which you know we have abundance called laziness.
Oh yeah. Da. Lelo maji tundu samshi.
So in a simple language, don't be lazy, generate enthusiastic perseverance. That's what we're talking about, right? I have a prayer request for two people who are dealing with their health issues. I believe it's called Sheila Edwards and Jerry Tompkins. So prayers are requested for them to recover from their sicknesses. And I have an announcement to make here. Next Sunday, probably most of you know here, I think Long Beach Marathon will happen. I think it has to happen on Sunday, I guess. So it'll happen next Sunday, October 12th. So that means there's a whole map printed out, and maybe we could make photocopies of this for you, so that maybe you want to give yourself a little more time and find different, what do Americans say, routes or routes for the British, for UL. You have to find the route. And others can find the routes, you know, to get to, TDL.
What is it about?
With less complication. And there is the website, you know, those who are techno people, www.runlongbeach.com. Right, that's easy to remember. www.runlongbeach.com, and probably you will see all this, you know, map and everything. Okay? So that's about next Sunday. Okay, mostly. No.
Shadong gole jeve jabo tong jelo kabo zambu sange tong kana kande tena tida chumba jere jala chan zelo mana bemo 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 Ona tatara ngaran chhinki de chhinji me ge zola teni sanji dembaro me jeta ji yuri de ne aba ta ja yi no be zui be tin ji be ta man zuku ze ke be temba de tu ji yin de na me me lu yu ma ta ani kyu dung ge jo bu man ji kyun di ja wa ne zen de ru ba ta ge de ji kam de da yin de me te be gu so da ke ni tu ji lu lu so da me me lu yu ma yu
Let us dedicate our collective merit, punya in Sanskrit, for the flourishing of Dharma, the source of benefits and happiness throughout the universe. May His Holiness the Dalai Lama and all other holy beings, wherever they are in any part of the universe, live long and be successful in fulfilling their visions benefiting sentient beings. May spiritual communities throughout the world and spiritual practitioners from all traditions remain healthy, harmonious, and be successful in fulfilling their spiritual goals. May this and other world environments be free of all kinds of unwanted pains and problems, and beings find peace, happiness, prosperity, and spirituality. In short, we dedicate our collective merit, positive energy, for all kind mother sentient beings to be free from the fears and dangers of two types of mental obscuration, obscuration to nirvana and obscuration to omniscient knowledge, and may we all become enlightened beings quickly.
Today Kesala is busy, so please postpone your visit to him.